broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, a very pleasant good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. I don't know what it is.
Well, you're going after your eye.
Yeah, I've got an eyelash that is, sometimes, I don't know if it happens to anybody else, but I get an eyelash stuck in my eye. It'll be fine.
What do you mean?
It'll be fine. Hold on. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We have introduced into our lineup here over the last week or so, Margaret Gray joining us. Margaret's been very challenging.
Well, I think it's been challenging. I think it's been very good. I've gotten some good feedback on our chemistry. And I was the one, ladies and gentlemen, that commented on Phil. He was rubbing his eye before we went on the air.
Yeah, I guess I have long eyelashes or something, although they're not the kind of long eyelashes where, you know...
You're sexy and everything?
No, I'm not. They're not those kind of long eyelashes. I don't have the, you know... I just, for some reason, I'm always getting an eyelash stuck in my eye. And not stuck in my eye so much as just bothering my vision, and that's what I was trying to get out of my vision as we were... going on the air, so forgive me if I look preoccupied. Anyway, most people didn't even see that, although our folks at PhilHendryShow.com, who are watching us on Phil TV in HD right now, certainly have, and to them, I've been talking during our pre-show, and I'll let our audience in on the fact that within the next 48 hours, we're going to have Apple compatibility with Apple products, to put it as simply as we possibly can, and that means that our on-demand video, on-demand... media will be compatible with your iPhone and your iPad. And we're very happy to be able to provide that for those who are our Backstage Pass members, so that if you are not watching our video cast right now live in the morning when you're having your coffee, you know.
Well, I think that that's a much preferable way of looking at it.
Yeah, there are a lot of people don't even stay up to watch it.
A lot of people aren't up late.
Yeah, my aunt does, but my aunt stays up all night.
Yeah, elderly people do, they don't sleep much.
Yeah, my aunt hardly ever sleep.
What do you mean?
I mean, my aunt never sleep.
The elderly don't sleep.
I've heard that. I don't know why that is, though.
I think it has something to do with their brains. Just their brains are not able to function. They can't process the sleep. And the other thing is, a lot of elderly people are afraid of going to sleep because of... and. Again, forgive me, the incontinence, the possibility they'll wake up in their own filth.
Oh, are you kidding?
You're putting me on.
What does that mean?
No, I'm not putting you on. They're afraid of waking up. What do you mean, what does that mean? It means they don't want to wake up in their own filth.
Oh, that, I've never heard that. Come on.
You know, Phil, the way you said that, I never heard that. Yeah, it's very disdainful, isn't it? The way you said that.
I've never heard such preposterous talk that they're afraid to go to sleep for fear they'll wake up in their own filth. You know, just because somebody is getting on in years doesn't mean they automatically have to have a diaper. God.
Now, you're talking about my aunt, you know.
Well, how old is your aunt?
My aunt Mavis?
No, your Aunt Bill. God.
Shut up, man.
His Aunt Mavis is 75?
Yeah.
Well, 75 is about that age where you start to worry that you're going to wake up in a pool or a puddle of your own filth. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It is...
You know, Margaret, that's pretty easy for you to say.
No, I'm going to say, what do you mean, not to be ashamed of? You wake up in your own filth.
Yeah, but you don't have to get all tense about it.
Yeah, why are you getting tense about it?
Wait. Hold on for a minute. Robert, don't say anything. You know what bothers me?
Oh, here we go. Daddy's going to give us a speech now.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, wait. No, Daddy ain't giving a speech. The thing that bothers me is this. This is what bothers me. This is this kind of patronizing talk that we hear from a lot of people about a number of different kinds of people. Oh, well, you don't have to worry about losing your eyesight. You know, those walking cane. Oh, well, you don't have to worry about the fact you only got one leg. I mean, it's going to be real easy. Why don't you just, you've not walked in those shoes. How do you know?
Well, I'm imagining. What do you mean I've not walked in what shoes? One-legged man shoes?
That's pretty funny.
Well, I'm not trying to be funny. Is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, how do you know how difficult or how trivial someone's life may be or concerns unless you've walked in their shoes, unless you've experienced that, okay?
Well, God forbid I walk in the shoes of a woman who wakes up in a puddle of her own filth. And I hope...
Yeah, you ask her to walk in those shoes?
You're asking her to walk in that diaper? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to... Thank you, but I don't want to walk, or if you will, I don't want to sit comfortably in that diaper.
Are you trying to be funny?
No, I'm simply trying to apply the proper metaphor. I don't want to walk a mile in those shoes. I don't want to sit 5 hours in that filth.
That's not the same thing, and I can see you are making a joke.
I am not making a joke. I'm married to a man who's 20 years older than me.
All right. Does your husband wake up in the middle of the night in his own filth?
Well, what are you, writing a book?
Yeah, what are you, writing a book or something?
Why don't you shut up, bud? Who's talking to you? I'm talking to you, man. No, I'm not writing a book.
Well, I'll let you know, Phil, as soon as the time is right for you to start to set down your memoirs, and you can include that in the chapter, and everyone will get a big laugh.
Yeah, I think that's not right, Mr. Henry.
I'm not. I'm only curious, Margaret, because you're the one who made the comment that, it's nothing to worry about. Some people in their advancing years wake up in the middle of the night in a puddle of their own filth, and the way that they get around that is they simply don't go to sleep. And I think that's preposterous.
All right, your opinion has been duly noted.
Yeah, opinion duly noted.
What is it with you and Bud? All of a sudden, you're on her side, you know?
They're not on her side.
Oh, on her side.
You know, I mean, when you first got in here last week, it was all about these guys, you know, what's she doing here, and she's making fun of us, and she said that we smell funny, and this and that. And now you cats are, yeah, Phil, what do you do?
I'm just trying to make the lady feel welcome like you asked me to do.
Yeah, you said for us to make her feel welcome and everything like that.
Okay, that's fine, but you don't have to go overboard. This whole, yeah, hey, Phil, what are you, writing a book? In any event, welcome to the program, and so, as I was trying to say, our media will be available very shortly on demand on your Apple products. And I know that a great many folks who have Androids, who have Droid phones, that is, and other non-Apple... See, my leg just... I just hit that latch. Anybody watching Phil TV right now just saw the chair go down about a foot because I'm hitting this latch for some reason.
I'm not trying to say anything. Is that your age?
Yes. Is that something age-related?
What do you mean age-related?
Back, you're hitting that with your leg.
No, for some reason I'm moving my left leg, my right leg back more these days, and it is coming into contact with a lever under this chair, which forces the chair, that lowers the chair. For whatever reason, my body language, the way I'm moving my body, has changed over the last week and a half to me moving this right leg back under the chair, and it's hitting this lever. Now, I don't want to get into a big conversation about that.
No, nobody's going to get a big conversation about that.
Good, okay.
Just, do you want a new chair?
I don't want to talk about that right now, okay?
No, I don't. Let's just move on.
Okay, let's move on.
But you don't want to order a chair. All right.
You guys are going to piss me off. So anyway, yeah, you can look in the Office Depot catalog or whatever you want to do.
Going online.
Good. All right, so anyway... we thank you very much for your interest, your consideration, and your forbearance and your patience as we have had a great many technical situations arise here on the program. You know, I know a lot of you who are listening, you deal with internet companies, obviously. You deal with your ISP, as they call it, your internet service provider, which is not the same as your P, whatever the hell that thing is.
But the address. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's not the same. Your ISP. What is the other thing? So, your internet service provider is the individual or the individual company that will provide you with your service. And if you use it for commercial reasons, and I can't imagine that there are too many people listening to me right now who don't at least know what it is I'm talking about. I bet you at least 50% of everybody listening to me right now uses their internet at home for a commercial or for a business-related purpose. You know?
Yeah, probably pretty close.
There are a lot of people that work at home, obviously.
Online?
Yes.
And I really feel that the companies involved, such as Time Warner or whoever, Cox, whatever the company, I really feel that if they're not yet really conscious of this, that they need to be. They, you know, I'm not trying to criticize. I'm not saying you're not doing a good job. But I am saying that you guys aren't quite, even though you may have this discussion in your boardrooms and you may have these discussions in your sales meetings, you're not quite up to speed on how important this is. Individuals that, now we don't, for our purposes, use our home for our business, but we're real close. Our business is located a few blocks away from where my primary residence is. We're in a business area of the El Pacifico Beach area where we work. But there's an awful lot of residential service use, even in the businesses. There's no commercial lines that feed this neck of the woods. And it's not cool, man. I mean, you really have to get your act together. You people really do. And it could be something in terms of how these particular these franchises or these vendors, how they're awarded the license by a city or a county, how it is that they come into the possession of the primary license to service certain areas. But this may be a political issue that you bring before these companies and say, hey, look, you guys are really going to have to get your act together a little bit better in terms of how you are providing service to these different neighborhoods and these different areas of your community, because people do need that kind of not only commercial quality line, they also need the kind of service.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. You call them up in the middle of the night, and they say, oh, we're not even there.
Well, they should be 24 hours.
Well, they should be 24 hours. They should have a service guy 24 hour on call, but they don't. Nonetheless, we dealt with that in a major way over the last couple of days. I'll get into it more when we come back. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is a radio show that, it's a talk show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Woo!
Truth,
we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, stop.
Yeah!
No, don't tell him to stop.
Stop.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, it's great to be back with you guys. And we will be here tonight until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, tomorrow night and Friday night. We have, like I said, tons of things to tell you about, things that are forthcoming. You know, the podcast, our free podcast, available at philhendryshow.com. Go through the banner there that says the new podcast on it, and that's where you will find our podcast. We also have a Milwaukee Lion podcast that will begin next week. We have just sort of been inundated with lots of stuff, and for those of you who are following the great Milwaukee Lions and their 0-3 start, wow. And they played another game this week that the results will be of that up on our website as well. All right, so I was talking here, and Margaret, you had been talking with Neil here off the air about the books on tape thing, right?
Yes, I think the books on tape are wonderful, and I do listen to them, and I enjoy them, and I know that Harvey has, I think, been approached, and I don't know whether or not he has accepted any of these. I was going to get him on the line. I think he's still downtown, perhaps. I don't know whether or not you actually go into work, if he's going into work these days, or...
Hey, Harvey, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Are you at work or are you at home?
Yeah, I'm still in the office there, but I'm going to knock off here in a couple of minutes.
You know, it's interesting that people should know that here you are still, still pushing it, still going downtown to the office, right?
Yeah, you know, look, I like what I do, and I've known a lot of guys that... You know, if you have a passion for what you do, you never lose it. Now, the reason why I agreed to come on your program tonight is because the woman there, forgive me,
Margaret. Yeah,
Harvey, it's Margaret.
What is that?
It's Margaret, dear.
Oh yeah. Well, you asked me. I'm coming on your show because you were the one that asked me, right, Margaret?
Yes, I asked you to come on because I know you're doing a book on tape.
That's it. You were the one that asked me about what am I doing?
You're doing a book on tape, right?
Yes, I am. Okay, so that's... Who asked me, though, to come on the show?
Margaret asked, don't you remember?
It was me, Harvey.
Yes, I remember. I remember someone asking me to come on the show. I don't know who that person is, and I don't know why they asked me to come on the show. Now I know that it was you asking me to come on the show. Why was it?
I didn't ask you, Margaret did, to come on and talk about you doing this book on tape.
There you go. Bingo. Bang. There it is. Beautiful. I knew it. All right.
Yeah, I wanted to find out about you doing this book on tape because I had been talking to Neil.
Who's Neil?
Neil's working the show tonight. He's our technical director tonight.
All right. Okay, all right, now I got it. So Neil is in California, right?
Let's just talk about the book on tape, all right?
Harvey, this is Margaret. I wanted to ask you about the book on tape you're doing.
All right, if you want to ask me about that, that's fine. I don't know about Neil.
No, nobody wants to ask you about Neil. No, what, you know, you're usually not this,
Not what?
You're usually not this confused.
I'm not confused. I'm a little tired, but I've been working. What time is it anyway?
Well, it's after 10 o'clock. You still got to drive home?
No, I don't drive. I got Pierre who's going to bring the car around here in a minute.
So you have a driver?
Yeah, I got a driver.
All right. Tell us about the book on tape.
Well, the book on tape. You get me some water, Jim, before they close it down. The book on tape that I'm doing, I agreed to do for David Mamet, you know, the playwright, Phil.
Yes, the great playwright, the great screenwriter.
Absolutely, and I want to do this because he's a very, obviously, extremely talented man, but he also has had this, a sort of epiphany, if you will, a Satori, as I believe Jack Kerouac once...
What'd you call him?
David Mamet?
No, Jack Kerouac?
Jack, yeah, you know the writer.
I've always thought it was Jack Kerouac.
All right, well, I've always thought it was Jack Kerouac or something like that. Here is the book that I'm reading, and this is a book on tape, but I just got done doing this today. And if you want me to give you a few lines...
I would love it. I would love it, because I would love to hear your rendering of this.
Yes. Well, the book is called The Secret Knowledge on the Dismantling of American Culture. It's David Mamet, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Glean Glass of Home. That sounds Japanese. Is it?
Glengarry Glen Ross?
I think it's Glengarry Glen Ross, darling.
It's Glengarry, yeah, there you go. Why did I... Who did the Glean Glass of Home?
Green Grass of Home.
The green grass of home, that's it, because I spent, I was in Japan for about 8 months after the war, just doing, we had occupation duty,
No, I understand that. So do you want to read some?
I want to read a little bit of this book, the David Mamet, The Secret Knowledge of, and he was the Pulitzer Prize winning author of
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, I told him, I said, Dave, why would you name a play something that only, anybody that has excessive drool, anyone that has, no one's going to be able to say that. All right, here it is, chapter one, The Political Impulse. And they gave me, I have the script from today, Phil.
Where did you record it?
We went to a studio in Pasadena.
Oh, great, okay.
All right, so this is the David Mamba.
David Mamet, you know the guy.
Yes, you're right, David Mamet. I know him, and I know his name, but when I looked to see his name on the cover, it looked different. It looked like David Mambo, and that can't be it. And
no, his name's David Mamet.
Yeah. All right, here we go. The political... Relax, will you, Phil?
Yeah, Phil, just take it easy.
Wait a second.
You just got to relax. You said, you're screeching. I don't like it when you do that. You're going, wait a second.
All right, sorry.
All right, I know you're trying to make me do it good, but I'm not going to do it gooder if you, yell at me.
I don't mean to yell, Harvey. I'm trying to get you back on track.
Well, what do I look? Do I look like somebody at Disneyland with a bib that you're leading around? Like I'm the kid who's constantly staring at the sky with a multicolored cane? Is that who I am to you?
No, you are not. And no, I don't think you're any of those things, although if you were, it wouldn't bother me. I'm just trying to get you back on track here.
Well, what is that? It sounds like you've got rats.
That's the music bed. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
That's music? That sounds like there's rats or something scratching at the...
That's music. We'll be right back with Harvey Wireman and his book on tape here in a moment. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Wow, look at that. What the hell is that? Is that music?
Phil Hendry.
That's scary.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we've been talking a little bit about books on tape. You know, it's not something that I have availed myself of, but I think I'm going to start, and I almost feel like I've been missing out. And as I said, we were talking to our technical director tonight, Neil, and he was telling us that he has narrated a couple of books on tape. And I've got Harvey Wireman on the line here, and Margaret's here, and we're going to get Ted Bell up here in a moment, because I know that Ted wanted to talk to Harvey, and I know that, Harvey, you have an idea, at least, for his restaurant. Can we get Mr. Bell up here?
But, yeah, go on right side.
On the right side. I don't know if this is him or not. There he is. Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you very much for asking. And, Harvey, how are you, sir?
Hey, Ted, how you been?
I'm doing fantastic.
Listen, Ted, Harvey, you wanted to ask him something, right?
Listen, Ted, and how are you tonight, Ted?
I'm doing great, sir.
Listen, I've got a book on tape that I've been narrating here for David Mamet, and I know you...
Hey!
I know you...
You got that phlegm problem, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I got to get another cup of... What helps is a cup of hot water.
Well, you know, you come on in, I'll make you some of that onion soup you like.
Yeah, that's good stuff, too. Listen... Before we get too deeply involved in how we want to, you know, pleasure each other.
Yeah. All right, okay.
Listen, I want to do a book on tape reading at your restaurant, and I want to do it for charity. See, what they want me to do is read the book on tape, and you get donations, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, we've done things like that, not too often, but we did have, Rand Gifford here, who read, he's done a bunch of travel books, Phil. You know the name?
I do not, no.
He did some travel books. He did some Big Game Hunter, you know? And
who's that, Rand Gifford?
Yeah, he's a big game hunter from, he's not from Africa, but he goes to Africa. He hunts the big game. He hunts the big rhinos and the big elephants and everything, and he comes back with all kinds of wild stories, you know?
Boy, people still do that?
Oh, yeah. What do you mean people still do that?
Yeah, but Phil's right. They don't...
Hi, listen, Ted, it's Margaret.
Who is it?
It's Margaret, Ted.
Yeah.
I agree with Phil. I didn't know that they still had big game hunters.
Oh, they got big game hunters. What makes you think they don't?
Well, it sounds like something that is rather arcane. What do you mean he goes to Africa?
I mean he goes to Africa. You know where that is, don't you?
Yes, I know where Africa is, but I guess what I'm asking...
He goes to Africa and he hunts big game.
Well, let me cut to the chase here. Does he wear a pith helmet, and when he shoots the game, does he stand there holding the rifle with one leg on the head of the... or one foot on the head of the game?
As a matter of fact, he does, yeah.
Well, what is this, Frank Buck? You know...
Who's he?
Frank Buck is an old-time hunter. The guy used to do these travel films. He used to do these movies that people showed in movie houses. And he went to Africa, and he was shooting big game, and he had his one foot up on the game's head, and he had the rifle. I mean, you know...
Well, I don't know what you're telling. You know, you guys seem to think this is arcane. Big game. Haven't you been... Have you been to Rand's house?
I don't know this gentleman, no.
All right, I've been there. Okay? And, Harvey, you haven't,
I don't know who the guy is.
I've been there, and he's got the horns, and he's got the head of a sheep, or whatever the hell he shoots.
And let me guess, it's in a billiard room.
As a matter of fact, it is, yeah.
God.
Well, he sounds like something right out of an old movie. He sounds rather stereotypical.
What?
I said the man sounds very stereotypical.
I don't know. I mean, all I can tell you is the guy's got, we used to do readings for him here at the restaurant. He hasn't done any lately.
Well, what's the last one you did with him?
My father was still alive back in the 80s.
So that's the last time you've done a reading at your restaurant?
That's the last time Rand Gifford did one. Are you listening to me? I said...
Well, what's the last reading that you've had at your restaurant?
Look, Bill, it doesn't make any difference. I don't give a sweet Jesus if he's never done one. I want to do it at his restaurant. Hey! Rah.
Well, you really got to get that cleared up.
No kidding. You've been telling me that for 6 years.
Yeah, because 6 years you've had it. That's all I'm saying.
I want you to organize for me a reading of the David Mumbawi...
David Mamet.
Yeah, no, I knew it. Yeah, David Mamet. I knew it was David Mamet.
How did you know that?
Because that's what you call him every time I talk to you. I'll say, what do you mean? I said, well, I talked to David Mumbawi on the phone. And I said, oh, okay, you mean David Mamet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He does do that.
Okay, fine. Give us an idea here as to, you were about to read from that.
Now look, let me ask you a question before we do this. Can you do, if you don't mind, because, you know, Harvey, I would really like for you to lead off, if you're going to do this in my restaurant, can you lead off reading from the menu?
Reading from the menu?
Yeah. If you can, fax over a copy of our menu to Mr. Wireman. He's over at Mr. Henry's studio. Okay, Janice?
Okay.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, honey. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at that. Okay.
You know, you don't need to do that, Ted. That sounds extremely graphic on the air. We can hear you. I could almost imagine your eyes going up and down that girl's backside. And you know what I'm talking about.
All right, I'm sorry. God. You're busting my chops every time I give on this program. Okay.
So you're going to have Harvey do what?
I'd like him to read, if you wouldn't mind, Harvey, some things from my menu. And just to kind of give an idea of whether or not you...
I've got the... All right, it's here.
Did you fax that to me?
I faxed it to you so Bud could fax it to Harvey.
Why didn't you just fax it straight to Harvey?
Because I didn't feel like doing it that way.
Why? If you don't want to trace, you don't want to trace the fax number.
I don't want you to trace it.
Oh yeah, okay.
Anyway,
whatever that means.
Exactly. All right. So Harvey, you got it?
Yeah. Okay. Here is the, what'd you call this, Ted? This is the what?
This is the appetizer menu for my restaurant. Go ahead and give it a shot.
All right, here's the appetizer. So I'm up on the stage or whatever you want to do over there in the prime rib room, you know, and I'm going to read the... I'm going to read the read out of the David Mamet Mamingi. David Mamet. And then, so here's the...
Give it a shot first with the menu. I just want to see what it says.
All right, you have on your menu boo-boo shrimp.
And, all right, that's barbecued shrimp. Not bad. It's all right.
Okay, I got it close, though.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
All right, so you got boo-boo, barbecue, poo soup.
No, that's saucy lobster.
All right, but how did I get poo soup out of that?
I don't know. Now, you were far off on that. Try the second one from the bottom.
Second one from the bottom. Mush.
That's better. That's mushroom stuffed with crab meat. But,
mush is the only part of that he got.
Well, it was okay.
Hey, Phil, this is how you talk to a guy. You try to encourage him. You don't do what you do, which is to take my self-esteem and wipe with it. That's what you do with what Ted's doing.
You gotta encourage a guy, Phil.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean, uh-huh?
Well, I detect, and I think Phil's right. You're not being entirely honest with Harvey.
I'm not being what?
You're not being honest with Harvey, and I know why it is that you're not being honest with him. You know that Harvey Wireman's a draw. You know you want him in your restaurant. You know that it means a very, very big payday for yourself and your servers. And you don't care whether Harvey is stone stark blind. You want him in your restaurant reading from that book.
Wait a second. Now that's dirty pool.
That is the lowest thing I think anyone has ever said to me. I don't care if Harvey is stark, stone blind, I just want him in my restaurant? Is that what you said?
That's exactly what I said, yes.
Well, I won't dignify it. Go ahead, Harvey, read some more.
All right.
You won't dignify it?
No, I won't dignify it. Go ahead, Harvey.
Here's one here. National crab.
That is also barbecue shrimp.
How do you get national crab out of barbecued shrimp?
See, there is. You see what he did there? Hey, Ted.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, he goes, how do you get that? You know, Phil, you whatever your confusion,
you sound a little effeminate when you get upset, you know?
All right, I'm sorry, but how did you get national shrimp out of barbecued, what is it called?
He said, boy, you don't hear too good, do you? He said national crab.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, how'd you get that out of barbecued shrimp?
Because that's what it looked like.
Listen, I think he's did a great job. I'd love to have you in the restaurant. I'd love to have you. Can you read a little bit from Mr. Mammoth's book?
Yes, I will, Phil, if you don't mind.
Yes, that's what we wanted you to do.
All right, well, Parvin.
You mean Ted?
Yeah, Ted wanted me to... All right, here is from chapter 15... from David Mingle's book, The Secretion.
David Mamet, The Secret Knowledge.
Yes, that's right. Southern California and Southern California juicy.
What is it, chapter 15?
Yeah, it's right here. It says social justice.
It's called Socialism and Social Justice.
Well, so what did I call it?
Southern California.
Well, that's because of the SoCal.
You know, Ted, I think you empowering Harvey in his inability to read...
Oh, why don't you give it a rest, okay, Margaret? I understand what you are looking to do here. You want to be the one who says, oh, Harvey needs to read it right. I'm simply allowing the old gentleman an opportunity to read something the way he wants to read it and not have you standing there breathing your clam sauce on him.
You know what? No one has ever spoken to me like that.
Yeah, except on last week you said that Phil had never spoken to you like that, and the week before.
Well, it is true, Margaret.
I don't care what I said. No one has ever spoken to me the way you just did right there. I would suggest you stay as far away from me the next time I come into your restaurant.
Oh, the next time you come into... That's a hot one. How about that, huh?
And you know, you also know who my husband is, Frank Gray. He's an attorney as well.
Well, she's got a point there.
All right.
Yeah, remember who you're talking to.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I don't want to get in the middle of that. Now, where was I?
You were talking about SoCal Justies.
Yeah, okay. Our American plane has been forced to land at some foreign airport by the outbreak of World War III. It will not be allowed to depart. Two planes are leaving the airport. I don't know what this means, but anyway, I read some of it today.
I think it's great, and I'd be happy to have you at...
Whoa, what was that, man?
I don't know. I don't understand a word of it, but that's what I was doing all day. And I can do it at your restaurant?
Do anything you want at my restaurant. You can do anything you want at my restaurant, Harvey, because Margaret's right. When you walk through the door, people follow. People love Harvey Weierman. They love him when he's in my restaurant. They love him when he's walking to his car. They love him when he gets into his car. And a lot of people love him when he leaves. And
what is that supposed to mean?
I'm kidding around.
Well, I want to find out the date he's going to be out there. I'd like to go out.
Yeah, okay. How about you, Margaret?
No, I think I'll pass.
Why?
Why?
I think Ted knows the reason.
Margaret, why? I don't understand.
I'm not going to comment. I think Ted knows the reason.
Oh, will you get out of here? No, I don't know the reason.
You want me to say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like you to say it. I'd like you to say it.
I think you're taking advantage of Harvey. I think you're treating him like some kind of a trained monkey. I think you're putting him on display.
Oh, would you give me a break? I said people love it when Harvey's there. Yeah, when he's there.
Yes, so they can laugh at the way he mispronounces things. They can laugh at the way he...
Wait a minute, nobody laughs at Harvey Weierman. Nobody. No one laughs at me and walks away from it.
Yeah. Well, you're starting to sound like Lloyd.
Whoever that is, you mean that nut that calls in Henry Schill from the Korean War?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't mean that guy. I mean Lloyd. Yeah, that's the guy I mean.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know who Lloyd is, but no one laughs at me and walks away from that encounter. They roll away, they crawl away, and sometimes they shuffle away. But...
Okay, Harvey, thank you very much.
Sorry, I'm having a hard time laughing and talking.
All right, thanks very much.
All right.
Ted, I appreciate it very much.
Well, I mean, well, I want to know something. Do you agree with Ms. Manners there?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a little bit of that.
Yes, Phil, you do agree with me. And now that Harvey's off the line, I can say exactly what I think about you. And it is this.
I'm sorry, I got to go.
Oh, he hung up, did he?
Yeah, he hung up.
What a gutless wonder. I'm telling you right now, I don't like the way he talked about that man or talked to him. He's a gutless wonder. He likes to get Harvey up there, loves to ply the old gentleman with drinks.
Well, what is he doing? Is he mocking him?
That's exactly what he does. Only in Harvey's mind, he's the king of he's the king of the moment. He's everyone's favorite guy. He's everyone's best friend. And what they're doing is laughing behind his back.
Well, I'm going to be at this thing, and if I see any of that behavior, I assure you I'll say something.
Well, I hope you do, Phil.
I will. I would never allow that to happen to him. I'll keep a very close eye. I mean, I like the guy. I like Harvey, and it's hard for me to think that Ted would treat him like that.
I think Ted respects Harvey, but he lets the patrons in his restaurant laugh at him behind his back and point and ha-ha-ha and this... I think it's disgusting.
All right. Well, if I see that Harvey's being treated that way, I can assure you I'll say something. Nobody's going to let him be humiliated like that. All right. God, what a night. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And not only that, we're dealing with a heat wave here in the studio.
Yeah, why don't you get an air conditioner already? Every time you always complain about it.
Because we don't need an air conditioner, man, until tonight. We've gone through the whole summer, everything was fantastic, and here we are in late September, and I'm burning alive. I'm cooking, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. Ted Bell is on the line with us. We also have... did he call back? Okay, Ted, that's all right. And we also have Lloyd Bonafide calling back in, or calling in. Are you there, Harvey? All right, not Harvey. Are you there, Ted?
This is Ted Bell. I don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Ted. You're there?
Yeah.
I thought you hung up.
No, I was messing around. Hey, what is it with you and that chair, man? I just saw you fall down again on the screen.
Yeah, I hit the lever. Let me go over to Lloyd Bonafide. Lloyd, how are you?
Yes, Mr. Henry's Lloyd Bonafide. I called in as soon as I heard my name mentioned, and I wanted to back up what you were saying about Harvey Wireman. He's a fine gentleman. And Mr. Bell, I can assure you, sir, as a Korean War veteran, and I am speaking as a veteran, that if you are to mock one of our fellow veterans, an older gentleman like Mr. Wireman, I can assure you that I will not look kindly on that either.
Sir, I'm not going to mistreat anyone. I'm in my own restaurant. You don't think you're going to come into my place, do you, and tell me what to do?
Yes, that's exactly what I think I'm going to do. And Mr. Henry said that he would do the same thing.
Look, Ted, nobody's looking for a confrontation. I'm just trying to protect a friend of mine.
I wouldn't protect a friend. There's nothing to protect him from.
Mr. Bell, I heard...
Hold on for a minute. I don't know who you are, what you are, or what... I don't know you. I'm talking to Mr. Henry right now. Do you mind? Okay.
Mr. Bell, I can assure you, sir, that I'm one individual that you don't want to blow off. Do you understand? Please don't blow me off, all right? Because...
Hold on for a minute. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are. I don't know where you're from. We've never been formally introduced. And
you don't have to be formally introduced to somebody you're talking to in a talk show. You're just talking to the guy.
I don't have to be formally introduced. That's exactly right. You don't have to be formally introduced to me. We're speaking together. And I'm telling you what I just told you, and I'll tell you again.
And you just told me you don't have to tell me again.
Come again?
If you just told me You don't have to tell me again.
Hold on. He's saying, and I concur, do not mistreat Harvey Weierman.
Why are you screwing with your right eye? It's driving me nuts. I see that too, Phil.
I'm sorry, my right... What, are you watching the video cast?
No, I see it in my mind. Yes, I'm watching the video cast. You keep messing with that right eye, you're going to lose the vision in it. Do you understand, Phil?
Phil, I have to concur. I've been looking at your video cast, and you're messing around with your right eye. What's wrong with it?
Says there's an eyelash in it. What are you, Betty Boop? Just quit messing with your eye. Good God, you'd think it was your penis.
Watch it, okay? Just watch that kind of talk.
Holy Jesus, is that funny? That's pretty funny. Thank you. That's the fun.
All right, thanks very much, both of you. Get out of here. All right, so it was funny. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More from Lloyd Bonafide and some very important stories. A student almost dies from poisoning after an alcohol enema at a college frat party. That's really seriously important. And other stuff, like whither goest Romney and the NFL referees have ended their strike, or at least they're not locked out anymore. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Get Vernon Dozier.
Oh, yeah, Vernon Dozier will be on.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, that's beautiful. God, I laughed until I spit up.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
What he told me,
all right, we're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, quite frankly, but they can't. See, there's some talk shows that are just trapped forever in the, trapped forever in the desert of political talk, trapped forever in that arid waste called Let's Talk About Obama or whoever the next president's going to be. As soon as it's Romney or somebody else, then we're going to have a whole new onslaught of how much they hate that guy. And it's a never-ending hamster wheel of death. And we have escaped it. How? By just doing whatever the hell it is we feel like doing, talking about whatever we feel like talking about, using phone calls any way we feel like using them, and just going roughshod over what has heretofore been the conventional landscape of the radio biz. As the result, it has won us many friends, and in some places, many enemies. As the result, we've remained on the air in some stations forever, and other radio stations are shocked, agog, and aghast, mess themselves, and quickly run for cover. But wherever and however, we are here for you. Online as well at philhenryshow.com, and you can get a backstage pass and watch this show performed as well as listen to it each day. And I'm sorry that everything is squeaking here, folks. I've got a squeaky chair. And
but get that thing oiled or something, man.
You know what, bud? That sounds like a good job for you.
You know, as soon as you adjusted that, Phil, now we can see you on the video cast.
Oh, you're right. I'm up a little bit higher, aren't I? Yeah.
Yes, a little bit.
All right, let me get back on the line here. Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, he's on with us. And also Ted Bell. We were talking a little bit, Lloyd, about Harvey, who's a World War II guy, and the respect that you have for him.
Yes, the respect that I've got for Harvey Weierman knows no bounds. He's one of the WW2 boys, and I know I've been on your program before, and I've made my comments about how a lot of those guys don't think their stuff smells, and, you know, they lord it over us, but I'm not going to listen to some, excuse me, Ted, Mr. Bell, for some Yahoo, you know.
Well, I'm a Yahoo, but you're asking me to...
Hold on, Ted.
Yeah, hold on for what? You know, I told you that I don't disrespect Mr. Weierman.
That's fine, but I want to make sure that you don't disrespect him, because anyone that disrespects Harvey Weierman, and he said it very well himself, you disrespect him, and you may have walked into the room, but you will be pulling yourself out of it. And I'll let you use your imagination on that one, sir.
I walked into the room.
That's right.
But I'll be pulling myself out of it.
That's right.
Oh, my God, I just got a visual on that.
Yeah, that's actually...
Yeah. How's it feel, huh? Oh, my God. You mean I have no legs? That works. That way, if you're pulling yourself out of a room, yeah, you'd have no legs.
All right, so we've gotten graphic with the violence on what happens to anybody that disrespects Harvey Weinman. I don't think it has to go that far. I think it can be something that is far more respectful. Ted, you had some more items from the menu?
Well, I just wanted to tell all of your listeners, Phil, regardless of where you're from or what you're about, or you know, we want everybody to come to Ted's of Beverly Hills and have a good time. I appreciate it, Phil. I want everyone to know that we have the new bone-in filet. That's the bone-in filet and the New York pepper steak. We also have, Phil, and we just got these in, the delicious Dungeness crab. And let me just get on over to our seafood, because we've got some seafood that is guaranteed to set you free. And I mean in ways perhaps you've never even imagined. We've got the live live Maine lobster. We've got the twin lobster tails. We've got the Alaskan king crab legs. We've got the smooth salmon. And the smooth salmon is something that I came up with myself. And there really isn't anything to it. It's just salmon. But I named it smooth salmon, and people go wild for it. And
wait a minute. There's nothing added to it?
No, absolutely nothing. It's just salmon. In fact, it's not a very good cut of salmon. It's a pretty average cut of salmon. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's salmon that has sat out overnight. And I shouldn't say that, but it's so delicious just because we named it smooth salmon. What do you think of that?
It sounds like something I'd love to have, but unfortunately, and this is Lloyd, sir.
Go ahead, Lloyd, yeah.
Yes, sir. It sounds like something I'd like to have, but I can't come into your restaurant, I'm afraid. Why is that? Well, you have on the menu something that I avoid, and I have avoided it since my days in the service, because it is something that I think anyone that was in the service in Korea would probably understand.
What is it?
Well, the fact that he has a different crab. He's got the crab dishes, you know.
We do have the crab dishes this year.
I'm sorry, I can't go near that.
Why? Is it because of the seafood? I know a lot of guys that were in the Navy, they hate seafood.
No. No, the crab dishes, if you, I don't want to get graphic.
Are you trying to tell me it reminds you of getting sprayed down?
Yes, sir. We had to get sprayed down before we went ashore.
For what?
Ted, do you want to tell him? Because he's a little slow. What do you think? Infestation.
Oh, God!
I didn't want to have to say it.
That is vile.
And for you to connect that to my restaurant on a radio program, and you talk about anger?
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, Ted, but I was being very honest, and I can assure you, you don't want any piece of me.
I'm so angry, though, at what you did to me.
I'm sorry I had to do it, son, but I had to tell your audience that they want my story. I'm Lad Bonafide. And
but your name was Lloyd.
My name is Lloyd, but I was given my given name is Lad or Laddie.
Lad.
You laughing at me?
Yes, I'm laughing at you.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. You know something, Ted? You know what? My focus is now off of you, and it's on to Henry. You know that?
I'll tell you something right now, Mr. Bonafide. For what you did coming on this radio show and connecting the delicious crab dishes that we have at our restaurant to some parasite infestation of your pubic hair. God, I'm sorry, Phil. I apologize. I can't.
So he's gone, huh?
Yes, he's gone. And I have to concur with him. It was unnecessary for you to bring such a revolting image into this discussion of his restaurant.
Mr. Henry, I apologize.
You should have apologized to him.
Well, I've got to tell you, sir, I'm not used to listening to a grown man start to cry like some little tiny girl. And that's what I heard him do just a moment or so ago. And as I said to you, when I come on the air, the only reason why I came on your program was to protect and speak up for Harvey Weinman. And I did, and I will leave now. Good day to you, sir.
Well, that's one way of getting your point across. That's one way of concluding a conversation, one way of making sure you get the last word. Just say it and hang up the phone.
Yeah, a lot of people do that on this show.
That's true. All right, so I apologize to Ted Bell, wherever he is, if you're listening, Ted. I, you know, there's not often that you and I agree, but I have to agree with that one. That was an unnecessary image to pull into this conversation about your restaurant and about Harvey Weierman, who will be reading one of the books on tape that he's recording. It is the David Mamet book, The Secret Knowledge. And Harvey, who's a traditional liberal, he maybe has something in common with Mr. Mamet, who was himself a traditional liberal and then changed his thinking as to politics in this country following 9/11. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-7445. Vernon Dozier is going to be joining us this hour to talk about the National Football League referees, the end of the lockout. They're back at it. I got to tell you, I cannot believe those guys haven't been out on strike before this. And when I heard that they were on strike, how many of you even knew there was an NFL referees union? Seriously. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. Now, Vernon Dozier is going to join us here. You have, Margaret, something?
Well, I had the Dickel whiskey recipes.
Dickel.
Well, your name's Dickman.
Yeah, your name is Dickman.
Yeah, so it's got... What? So what?
So what are you laughing at?
Because it's called Dickel.
That's the same thing as Dickman.
I don't think so. The one's called Dickel.
Okay, so you're laughing at it because it's called Dickel whiskey, but your name's Dickman, and that's not funny.
No.
You're more retarded. With each passing day, you're more retarded.
All right, let's not.
All right, well, I do have the Dickel whiskey recipes when and if we get to those. I know you have Coach Dozier. I also wanted to read an article here on Erin Moran.
Who's she?
She was on Happy Days.
Okay.
And this is terribly sad. Erin Moran, where are my glasses, please? Can I get those? Right here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Philip.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for my glasses. My glasses. Yeah, they're right here.
You got the thing in my mouth.
What?
You have that in my face, the copy.
All right. I have this. The, Erin Moran, you don't know who Erin Moran is?
I do, yeah.
Well, then why did you ask me who she was?
I didn't.
I did.
Robert asked you.
Oh, Robert did, all right. Erin Moran was a charming and lovely, lovely actress on Happy Days. She played Joni. She was the younger sister.
Yeah, I know what she is, Donna. Joni, you love Chachi.
Do you mind?
Well?
Do you mind?
No.
Erin Moran, now I have to start all over again.
Don't start all over again, Margaret. He was asking a perfectly... He was just making a comment.
Anyway, Erin Moran was on the show, and then she did Joni Loves Chachi, which was a spin-off. A spin-off.
What's that? What do you mean, a spin-off?
A spin-off. It's a spin-off. It's... In other words, it's a show that is made out of the show that it was originally on.
Why do they call it a spin-off?
Because it's spun off.
You know, it's spun off, you guys. Like, in other words, the show's a hit, and a couple of the characters are particularly interesting or exciting for the audience, so they turn them into a TV series.
That's called spin off.
No, it's spun off?
It's a spin off because it was spun off. All right, let's not...
Okay, do you guys understand?
She said it was spun off.
Because it's a spin off, you ass. A spin-off. God almighty. Why is this necessary, Phil, that I have to devolve into someone who is almost... There are days on your show where I feel like I want to just go out in a house coat with...
What?
What does that mean?
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
There are days that...
Don't play it back to me, all right? You know what I mean.
No, I don't. I mean, if you say you feel like a criminal...
I feel degenerate. I feel like I want to get one of those rubber squeezy things, fill it filled with bleach and abrasive...
Margaret, that's about as degenerate a thought as I've ever heard you utter.
And that's how your show makes me feel sometimes.
Well, then what? If Fid makes you feel like that...
Would you shut up? I'm talking to Phil.
Please don't tell him to shut up. All right.
Oh, so now... Oh, now I see. So the shoe's on the other foot now.
No, you're just telling people to shut up after saying you want to squeeze... put a squeegee in them.
I didn't say I want to put a squeegee in them. Where do I go to find a man with almost a fully developed brain? Is there one in this room?
Yes, me. You can talk to me. You guys shut up. That's a horribly degenerate thought you had. And you're blaming my show?
I'm blaming your show because there are days when Bud and Robert don't shut their pie holes long enough for me to make a point.
And so, therefore, you feel like going out and committing some kind of weird criminal act.
Why is an abortion criminal?
Back alley? I think so. Without any medical supervision, without a medical license, without proper hygiene, proper care, I think that is an illegal operation, an illegal medical procedure. Yes, that's against the law in this country if it's not done within the parameters of what is legally accepted.
Well, that was real pretty, Mr. Henry. Real pretty. Hey, real pretty. Got yourself out of that one, didn't you?
Got myself out of what?
You were about to say you're against abortion.
I'm against that!
Anybody be against a lady going out dressed in a house coat with a squeegee?
Yeah.
Anyone would be against a lady going out in a house coat with a squeegee? Oh.
You're the one that said it.
Look at you laughing at... God, how I hate... There are days I hate you so.
You know, Margaret, you better just come down off your high horse here.
Yeah. Lady,
I'll deal with it. You better come down off your high horse, okay? You've been this close for 2 weeks getting bounced off this show.
Oh, and you're going to bounce me off your show?
Anytime I feel like it. So get off your high horse, come down off of your freaking, out of your ivory tower, and get with it, okay? Talking about wanting to go out and give back alley abortions because you're so anxious.
Well, you're laughing. Why is that okay, and I'm not allowed to say what I'm saying?
Because you're so absurd, that's why. Can you finish with the Aaron Moran?
Yes, thank you. If I hear one word out of you, Bud.
I don't see another thing.
The internet's fluffiest stars, former child star Aaron Moran, has been thrown out of the trailer she shared with her mother-in-law. Dateline Los Angeles. I'm Margaret Gray. Aaron, who played Richie Cunningham's fresh-faced younger sister Joni on Happy Days, initially worked as her mother-in-law's caretaker after the foreclosure of her California home. She performed household tasks around the trailer, cooking and cleaning, all while taking care of the 72-year-old's hygiene. I'm Margaret Gray. According to the National Enquirer...
Can I ask you a question?
Well,
why do you keep saying that?
I want proper credit. I'm Margaret Gray. According to the National Enquirer, she was given the flick after her partying spiraled out of control. She was going out and coming home at all hours of the night, sometimes with her rowdy bar friends and her husband. And her husband Steve's mum just couldn't take it anymore, so she told Aaron to leave. The Morans then moved into a cheap hotel, but after management became fed up with her unruly behavior, they were asked to leave. Since then, Aaron has bounced between friends, spending the cash settlement she won in a legal dispute with Happy Days, U.S. Network, CBS, quote, like a drunken sailor. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, okay.
Well?
All right, so that sounds sad. It really sounds sad.
But what I'm asking is, I gave my identifier 3 times in that, so do you feel like...
Do I feel like what?
Do you feel as if it was a credible report?
Yes, it was credible. You gave your name 3 times. I think you overdid it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
No one's asking you. No one's asking you.
Take it easy, Margaret.
I'm not asking him. Do you think I gave my name enough?
Yeah, I think you gave your name too many times.
And I'm not asking you either. Oh, my God.
All right, guys. Margaret, you gave your name too many times. You said, I'm Margaret Gray. Then you said, I'm Margaret Gray. And at the end of it, you said, I'm Margaret Gray. It sounds like overkill, okay?
What does that mean?
It means people are... It sounds weird. When you give your name at the beginning, maybe at the beginning, when you say, here's the headline, here's the tease.
All right, how does this sound? Former Happy Days star kicked out of trailer park. I'm Margaret Gray, now homeless.
No, because it sounds like you're homeless.
All right, how about this? Former Happy Days star, I'm Margaret Gray, kicked out of trailer park, now homeless.
No, it just...
Well, why can I not be allowed to give my name?
At the beginning of the piece, you're not familiar with radio, are you?
Of course I'm familiar with radio.
Well, you're not familiar with how to do a report on radio. Say, I'm Margaret Gray, and here's my report.
Oh, come. Oh, God. You talk about lame.
Margaret, I'm telling you, it sounds better than saying, former Happy Days star kicked out of trailer park. I'm Margaret Gray, now homeless.
Well, I didn't say, I didn't say it that way.
Well, however you said it, it sounded like you're the one that's homeless.
Yeah, you want people to think that?
No.
Then you got to do it in a better place.
Say this. And now here's Margaret Gray with a celebrity report, or whatever the hell you want to call it, okay?
All right.
And now, Margaret Gray.
And when do I say my name?
You say your name at the end. I already said your name at the beginning. I already gave you the setup. Hi, thanks, Phil. You know.
Well, how about this? Thanks, Phil. I'm Margaret Gray.
I just said, now here's Margaret Gray with a report. Then you say, thanks, Phil, I'm Margaret Gray. It sounds stupid. It sounds like you can't... It sounds like you were in love with your name or something. I'm just telling you.
Well, we've got to find a way to put it in there better.
That's what she said.
You filthy...
All right, Bud, watch that stuff.
How dare he?
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
You hit me.
I'm Margaret Gray. How dare you? I'm Margaret Gray. Like that.
No, stupid.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, each and every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and information show that knows what it's talking about. Vernon Dozier joining us online from Belmar Academy, Glendale, California. And I know you get your... You have a granddaughter, right?
Well, Phil, I've got a grandson.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I know. That's all right. I've got a grandson, and I'm just as tickled as can be to have him here. We've got him with us here this weekend, and for the remainder, my daughter is here, and I should say my son is here. My daughter is still in Port Hueneme, where she lives with her husband. But
now these are your adult children. You have some kids at home, don't you?
I do. I've got a 6-year-old son, and I've got a 5-year-old son. And my wife has blessed me with the mother of my adult kids here, Tommy and Sandy. She died.
I'm very sorry to hear.
Yeah, that was a tough one, but I've had a great, great life with Amber and our kids, and we're just, you know, we're a happy family here, so I'm very excited about having the kids over here.
And I wanted to, you know, we were talking here a moment ago about the referees.
That's correct.
And I want to talk about that, but you were watching that, the same thing I was watching a moment ago with Bud and Robert on the military channel, those jetpacks.
Yeah, you know, I saw that, and I got to tell you that I saw these jetpacks, and I wanted to say to you, Phil, and I'm saying it on the air, I hope it's okay.
Yeah.
That's an example of what you were talking about. When America applies its energies to something so utterly ridiculous and something so utterly without any purpose, and continues to apply its energies to something ridiculous and without purpose, that after a while you question the sanity and the intelligence of the individuals involved, and you wonder whether or not at one time our military was run by some kind of an uber imbecile. And forgive me for saying this, but we use this term in our social studies class, uber imbecility, and that is a super race, a super class, or an upper class of well-moneyed imbeciles is the best way to put it, because...
Now, what does that mean, well-moneyed imbeciles?
Well, you have you have people that have enough money to keep pouring that money into an idea that is so ridiculous and so otherworldly ridiculous that you want to either have them arrested, you want to take their temperature, you want to have them... you want to lay them down on a cot and put a cloth on their head, but the last thing you want to do is listen to anything they've got to say about anything. You see what I'm saying? So the idea that
So you're talking about the jetpacks?
Yeah, these jetpacks that the military financed with these guys flying around. And I was at, when we had our game against Whitson, which is a big mid-season football game. We'll have it again this year. It's coming up in November. Excuse me, Phil. Hey, Amber, honey, can I get a glass of beer? Just any beer that we've got. Yeah, I'll take that. It's good. Samuel Adams. I like that Samuel Adams, even though I don't like the beer, but I like the man. You know, I've seen that show on TV, John Adams, Samuel Adams. He was a badass.
Yeah, Samuel Adams was John Adams' cousin. And
he was pretty much a badass, wasn't he?
Well, he was a real firebrand, yeah. And if the miniseries and of course McCullough's book is to be believed, he and John clashed many times.
Yeah, because John Adams was very gentlemanly in all of this, right?
Yeah, John Adams was the more distinguished of the two, the lawyer. Samuel Adams was a successful man in his own right, but was very much the revolutionary. Everybody on that side of the family was a revolutionary, but John Adams seemed to have a cooler head about things. We're with Vernon Dozier. I wanted to talk about the NFL, the referees.
Yeah, but let me just finish this thought here, Phil, on the jetpacks.
Okay.
So anyway, they brought one of these jetpacks into the stadium.
And we're talking, just so I can tell the audience, Vernon, we're talking about these jetpacks that fly guys around.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Amber was with me at the last season, at the Whitson game last season, because Amber's was part of the 2005 graduating class, and they had a six-year reunion, which I thought to this day I still think it's stupid. Okay, fine. She graduated in 2005. And
well, you were her teacher, right?
Yes, I was, and that's all I really want to say about that, because every time I bring that up, I get another batch of emails from people who don't know what they're talking about. So,
all right, I apologize.
All right, so in any event, she came to the game with me, and the guy comes down in a jetpack, and that's when I said to Robert Whittingham, who is one of our seniors, he's the president of our science class, and that's when I asked him to get that Whittington cannon out of his car. And
what is that?
It's you didn't hear the story.
No, I did not.
You don't know about the Whittington cannon?
No.
All right, Robert Whittington's one of our, he's a science club president. He's got a cannon. It's actually a big slingshot. All right, so if you didn't hear the story, I'm going to have to start at the beginning.
No, I did not hear the story.
All right, well, I almost got fired over this, so I don't, she's telling me not to, I shouldn't say the story.
Well, what are you talking about?
Talking about, you didn't hear about me using this thing on this guy in the jetpack. The problem, Phil, here's what I...
No, I didn't hear any of this.
The problem was this. I don't like someone flying into the stadium like he's God, all right? There's one God. There's one God.
Vernon, can you...
Whoa. There's one God. Would you agree with that?
I would. Would you turn your radio down?
Oh, I'm sorry. What are you listening to? I got the Phil Henry show on. What are you listening to? Huh? What is that? Jim Bohannon. Put it on Henry. Okay, what station are you on, Phil?
In L.A., I'm on KTLK.
On KTLK. You what? We can't pick it up where we live.
Oh, that's great. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, so I had this guy come flying into my stadium. So I said, Robert, give me your cannon. I got the Whitson cannon. It's just a big, long tube with a slingshot band at the end of it. And I picked up a handful of this stuff that I had been joking with the kids about. Somebody had been walking their dog and left some dog dewy. And
yeah, okay, dog droppings?
Yeah, dog droppings. So I grabbed a handful of this stuff. And
you grabbed a handful of dog droppings?
Phil, it's not going to seep into my skin and turn me into the blob, okay? God almighty. Amber, she's on the floor laughing her ass loose. It's not going to turn. How about that? Henry thinks if I pick up dog dew, I'll turn into one.
And no, I'm just saying it's not very hygienic. Go ahead.
Not hygienic. Okay, next time, Phil, I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll make sure that I got some baby wipes with me. Does that make you feel better?
That's fine.
All right. So I picked up some of this dew. I see the guy fly in, and I let it go. And I knocked this guy. I'm telling you, I scored a direct hit because they're wearing a helmet, but he did not have a face shield on. And as he was smiling, and he was saying, hi, something like, I'm Colonel so-and-so, as he said, hi, you guessed it, right, a direct hit.
With a dog dropping.
Right into his mouth, yeah. All right, so make a long story short, it forced him down, he spit it out, he was overcome with just the nausea of swallowing this. I don't know if he swallowed part of it, I think he chewed some. It was, I gotta tell you, Phil, it was funnier than hell.
And you almost got fired?
Yeah.
Well, good.
Okay. I mean, wow.
No, that's good. That's good. That's infantile. It's everything that we tell kids not to do. And whether you think it's funny that a guy swallowed a dog dropping or not, it's also a health risk. I don't know where to begin with everything that you just said you did. And why is this? Because the guy came flying in a jetpack, and there's only one God. That's what you just said to me.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Henry, and I'm so sorry, Principal Henry, for disappointing you.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
He calls back?
If he calls back, I don't want him on my air, okay? He wants to act like a little child. See, I knew we were headed for that with Vernon, because every time that he has a story that he wants to tell...
Well, that, I agree with you, Phil.
Every time he has a story that he has to tell... That has to do with his ego, and you notice how his wife was involved.
Yeah, what's the story of that?
Yeah, she's a young wife, right?
Yeah, that's his young... She was 18 when he married her. So 18, so she's 25 years old now. She's got a 5- and 6-year-old. Vernon married this girl right off of the graduation stage.
Oh, this is that man.
Yes, this is the guy. As soon as she graduated from high school, he married her. I mean, that night... When her father and her brother went looking for her, they saw Vernon's truck parked at the Blue Moon Motel over here in wherever it is.
Yes, it's on that lake, right?
Yeah, it's the Blue Moon Motel sitting on a lake. And anyway...
Well, what is so funny about that, Phil?
Well, I don't know. There was something that seemed to be perfect because they said all they saw was the silhouette of a truck and an unlit motel room. And you can well imagine what was going through their minds.
Well, I can imagine what was going... Probably they were revolted...
Well, in any event, that's that nut. Now, every time he brings his wife into the conversation, he gets a little touchy because he's afraid somebody's going to start. And he brought her up. He was at the game with her. And he takes the slingshot and he hits this guy with dog crap. And I chastised him. And he feels like I'm somehow usurping his manhood in front of his wife.
Oh, man, is that what that is?
That's what I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Oh, that. Well, he's got big trouble.
Yeah, well, everybody knows Vernon's jacked over. He'd been jacked over for years and years, so long as I know it about him.
And so he gets upset if you're more of a man?
Well, no, I mean, it's not even that. I think it's he gets upset if it looks like that I'm, you know, chastising him because his wife's listening or his wife's in the background or something. And he's got his grandsons there, and he's this and he's that, so...
You don't want him back on the air?
No, I do not want him back on the air.
Because he's called back like 3 times.
Yeah, he called back me... And then he said, call back Bud. And then he called back, disguising his voice as his wife.
Just now?
Well, in the last 3 minutes.
You guys have been talking to me and fielding phone calls from him.
And his wife.
And his wife all in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't want him back on the air, don't put him back on the air.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. I want to talk about the damn referees, man. If I'm not going to talk to Vernon, we'll get somebody. World famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Truth.
Probably
is
Dave
our
Oliver
bitch.
Or somebody. I don't know.
The Phil Henry Show.
What about Jack Argetti?
Yeah, get him.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
That's the bitchiest thing there ever was.
You know, of all of the things that I've been very lucky and happy to do, and I'm not trying to say that I'm any kind of, you know, well-traveled actor or anything, but it's just of the stuff that I've been fortunate enough to do, there ain't nothing, man, there ain't nothing that compares to the fact that I did a couple of voices in Team America.
Man, everybody knows that movie.
Yeah, that every time I tell a friend of mine, they're all like, you serious?
Yeah, and I get the same reaction. I get the same reaction. Team America, man. I tell you, when Matt Stone, Trey Parker, and I can tell you, if that experience was unique in everything that I did. Because, first of all, they called me up themselves. I mean, I pick up the phone one day, and it was Michelle at the front desk at Clear Channel, and she says, Matt Stone's on the phone. I said, you mean from South Park? She goes, yeah. I said, fine. I picked the phone. Hello. And he's Phil, it's Matt Stone. I said, how are you? He's great. Listen, we're doing a movie, and we'd love for you to do some voices in it. I said, yes, I will, you know.
Well, didn't you negotiate?
No, I didn't negotiate.
Why not?
All of a sudden, what is it with you, Robert? You just said it's cool, and now you're saying why not?
Well, I mean, it makes sense.
No, I didn't negotiate.
Well, didn't you say maybe when are the dates and play a little hard to get?
No, you're not going to do it. No, no, no. Though, first of all, those guys do most of the voices themselves on their cart on South Park, and they did most of the voices in the movie. The fact that they would even, there were in the film, there was maybe five or six other actors, and that was it in that whole movie. Okay.
Well, I just think that oh, yes, oh, yes. I mean, Phil, you have to show a little, you know, like you have some currency.
No, Margaret, none of that phony baloney bullcrap, okay? That ain't me, all right?
Well, you were complaining before you went on the air with all of these missed opportunities. Now you're saying, oh, that ain't me.
Yeah, she's right, Phil. You ought to start playing more hardball.
Yeah, dude, like it don't smell.
Will you get out of here like it don't smell? What are you saying?
You know exactly what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not going to get into an argument with you now. The movie was made many, many years ago. It's over. It's done, okay? And I'm very proud to have been in it. And I'm very, very proud that people know me from it. But that's not the point. The point that I'm making here is of everything that those voices that I did in that movie, that is the biggie, man.
What about King of the Hill and everything like that?
King of the Hill's big. But, man, nothing like Team America. And even to the point where I was talking to Amir and some friends, you know, who were saying, well, you know, they do bios and stuff. They say, well, I always put Team America up front. I go, why? Because that's what, when I did the Reddit thing, when I did Reddit, the AMA for Reddit.
Yeah.
Alex says, no, we got to put Team America first. I said, why? He says, because everybody knows you from that, man. That's the high visibility thing. And I'm only bringing that up because it's very interesting. You know, there's a lot of other stuff that I've done, that's all. And
well, how many voices you doing that?
I did two voices in that movie. I did Intelligence the Computer, and I did the Chechenian terrorist who screams the line, I love your balls.
Oh, that was cute. I love that. That was really cute. I don't think I wasn't enamored so much with the right wing point of view.
Well, I, you know.
Well, you what?
Well, that figures, you know.
Well, I know a lot of people were offended by that film. You know, Sean Penn, Phil, who is a darling man and a very... He is one of our valued artists. He was treated terribly in that film.
Oh, would you come on, please? You know...
What do you mean, come on, please?
What's the problem with taking a little bit of a shot at people who've never had shots taken? I mean, the entire Hollywood actor community that has invested itself politically was deserving of a little bit of a ribbing. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, look at, if you make yourself a target, you're going to be, and it isn't like anybody is saying they don't have the right to say what they're saying, you know.
Well, I think that the way they treated Alec, the way they treated, and I said Alec, I didn't say Alexa, I said Alec.
Right, Alec Baldwin.
Yes, because you might be thinking I'm referring to someone else.
I don't know who Alex is.
Alex, well, there's an Alex, I don't know who, but...
Yeah, the brother, you.
Yeah. But,
There's an Alex, you don't know who.
Yeah, but Alec, the way Susan was treated, the way Sean was treated, the way Tim was treated, the way George was treated, the way...
Margaret, who are these people?
You know very well who I'm talking about.
I'm not talking to you. My audience is sitting out there wondering what you're talking about. Alec Baldwin, George Clooney, right?
Susan Sarandon is torn limb from limb?
No. Susan Sarandon was set on fire and thrown out of a building. Okay, it's just as bad.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And Sean Penn was torn to shreds, his guts eaten out by a wild animal?
It was a puppet. It was a puppet with a cat.
I understand what it was, Phil. I've got eyes in my head. So I think it was, if you call that comedy...
I do. I call it very, it was very funny. I laughed my ass off.
You did, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you wonder why you don't get more calls.
I don't, Margaret, please. I'm very proud of having done that. And let's just not, you know, let's agree to disagree, okay? Because those guys are very successful. Book of Mormon? Come on. What do they do that they're not successful at? They are incredibly successful, brilliant artists. You have to admit, they've won Tonys on Broadway.
I know a lot of people who are just very upset by that.
Oh, I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do. I bet you there's a lot of people upset by that. I bet you a lot of people don't like the whole South Park Republican sort of gonzo right-wing thing that those guys do. But the fact is, they're funny as hell. And I didn't bring any of this up to say anything other than it's always very gratifying and amazing when people say, oh, you did King of the Hill, you did this, but Team America...
Well, it was a very popular movie.
Very popular movie.
What, you got residual checks and everything on that?
None of your business.
Oh, Phil, come on.
Yes, I get residual checks.
How much for?
Not a lot.
So they're stiffing you, too. See, so you...
No, well, they're not stiffing me.
Well, how much are the checks for?
I'm not going to tell you.
How much are the checks for?
I'm not telling you.
I'll ask again. How...
I'm not telling you.
I can find out, Margaret. I'll get it.
You're not going to find out anything. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil, this is not funny. How much are the residual checks for?
It's none of your business.
Are you going to answer my question or not?
No, I'm not going to answer your question.
I'll ask it again. Are you?
I'm not answering how much my residual checks are for. I'm not answering the question.
Well, there are ways of finding out.
Whatever that means.
Phil Hendry.
I can look up his checkbook and I'm... Ow!
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back to World Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Vernon Dozier is rejoining us. And you heard what I said, Vernon, that I don't want to hear a lot of nonsense here about, you know, me.
I understand, Phil. I understand.
You understand me?
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
I understand.
I don't mean to lecture you, but the last time you were on here with me, you got upset with me when I told you that I thought your stunt with the dog crap.
I understand. I think I told you already that I understand.
Okay. So let's talk about the NFL referees.
All right. That's why I wanted to come on the program. And by the way, I just want to say I heard what you were saying to the young man there, Neil, because we have Phil TV. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah. See, I spend, even though it's, you're right, it's a good price, $9.95 a month, we get Phil TV, all the archive that we'd ever want to have of your show. But you see, I am a customer, and so in a lot of ways, I have a right to say to you that you shouldn't, I use this, well.
All right, okay, you are a customer.
Yeah.
You are a subscriber.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you want to say?
I can talk about the Winningham slingshot.
Go ahead.
All right. All I'm saying is I got a handful of dog you-know-what, put it in that slingshot, and I hit that guy on the fly from a distance of 75 yards with a dropping, a dog dropping, which was, at that time, had been out in the sun, so it was dried out, and it was pretty. It was like, but it, well, I don't know if you know much about dog do.
No, I haven't made a study of it.
Well, what's that supposed to mean? Like I have?
No, I don't. Can we just get through this?
All right. So in any event, it doesn't have a lot of weight, so you've got to aim it. And I hit this guy in the mouth just as he was saying hi. You know, you can imagine the shape of a guy. And
well, what was he saying hi?
He was flying into the stadium and he was introducing himself. I think it was a Colonel. What was this guy's name anyway? Do you remember ever? Richard Rourke from Vandenberg Air Force Base. He's flying in this jetpack now, he says, and he swings it around. And as he swung it around toward our bench, he said, hi. I was going to say, hi, I'm Colonel Richard Rourke. And as he swung it, excuse me, my throat's killing me. Can I get another beer? No, I don't think I've had enough. No, I don't. I want another beer.
Who's that?
My father-in-law. Come on, Jeff. You know, don't break my castanets this early, okay? It's not even 12:30. So I said to, here comes this guy, turns around and says, hi, I'm Richard Rourke. Well, I knew it was now or never, because I knew this guy in his jetpack thought that he was something real special. So he was going to say hi to the crowd. And sure enough, there was hi, you know, so the mouth was ah, like that. Now, when the mouth gets to that width, you let it go. Bang. Because I knew he was going to go hi.
Well, he's got to keep his mouth open for a long time.
Yeah, but these ego cases, that's what they do. I knew he had a big, fat ego, and he was going to go, hey, like he was something out of this world. And, yeah, he looked like he was something out of this world, zipping around in a jetpack. I said to Amber, and she was getting all excited. And I know because I know, believe me, I can tell. A man can tell by the top you were wearing that day. And I won't say any more about it than that, but... You know, there is something to be said about wearing a bra, honey. And
okay, fine. Move on.
All right, I'm sorry. So anyway, he goes, ha, and just as he went, ha, bang, the dog turd went, bang. I mean, it hit, it went in and lodged. And that's when the jetpack hit the ground, and that's when all hell broke loose. But I was, you know, I was very proud of that.
Okay. All right, so we've heard your story, and I don't want to hear any more about it.
Yeah, fine, great. I have to check my wife. Okay, are you wearing a bra? No, she's not wearing a bra. I want to tell you, if I see her...
Okay, come on, what is this anyway?
Well, you know, never mind. All right, Phil, so what happened here, as we were saying, the NFL referees were locked out after reaching a deadlock in their negotiation with the National Football League, but the NFL and its referees... reached a deal on Wednesday night to end a three-month lockout and return its officials to the playing field. Not that. I want the other kind. I want... No, I want... I don't want that light crap. Tastes like chilled pot liquor. Give me that Miller High Life. I want some Miller High Life. Hold on, Phil. Do you mind?
Yes, I do mind.
Yeah, what did you say? Light beer. Tastes like chilled pot liquor. All right. The NFL said in a statement that the league and the NFL Referees Association worked out an 8-year collective bargaining agreement. According to Roger Goodell, our officials will be back on the field starting on Thursday night. We appreciate the commitment of the NFLRA in working through the issues to reach this important agreement. Now, right there, if I ran the referees union, I'd send them back out on strike just because of that. But... I don't think they're very well run.
Why would you do that?
I'm sorry?
Why would you do that?
Because of what Goodell said there. And
what Goodell said there was, we appreciate the commitment of the NFLRA in working through the issues to reach this important agreement.
Yeah, that's a bald-faced lie. He didn't appreciate anything. You know full well, Phil. Come on, Phil. Use your head. Come on. Come on, Phil. Use the brain that God gave you for something other than thinking up new ways to look in bedroom windows. And I'm just kidding around with that, okay? Just take it easy, all right? Now,
well, I don't find that funny at all.
All right, all right. Come off here. Now, listen. Just get off the high horse for a minute, Phil. Think about it, will you? Roger Goodell is lying. He doesn't appreciate anything about the NFLRA. You should know that. That's what you talk about all the time. These guys in the suits, the only thing they want to do is squeeze the last nickel out of somebody, leave the guy to die while they go home, and empty their pockets on the floor for their children to go and play with all of the things they've stolen from some guy that they left bleeding in the dirt. That's Roger Goodell. He represents every guy that wears a suit and tie.
Oh, boy. Hey, you really kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not even that much of a, I don't even paint with that broad a brush. For God's sake.
Well, what do you call that?
Well, I mean, maybe he is appreciating. I mean, these were negotiations that obviously must have had people on edge because the games have been an abortion, you know.
Yeah, absolutely they've been an abortion. The games have been absolutely mishandled and misofficiated, if there's such a word. I mean, they've been badly officiated from the beginning. And for the referees to fold for, I don't know how much money they got, but you know as well as I do that whatever they agreed to with the National Football League, they got screwed. They got screwed. And Goodell and those cheap bums that run those teams, you know full well that they stuck a gun into the ribs, the collective ribs of the National Football League Referees Association, and held them up for a lot more money than they should have. And I don't think they got a good deal at all. So the minute that Goodell started in with the patronizing and started saying, oh, we appreciate the this and the that, I would have said to them, okay, that's right there. You just blew it. We're walking out again. Okay?
All right. Well, then that probably would have been a public relations disaster from a couple of... First of all, you would have handed the National Football League a PR, a press release that would write itself. Referees turn around and walk out because their feelings get hurt by a statement that Goodell made.
I don't care. What difference does it make?
Well, I mean, again, you're going to have the fans have pretty much been on the side of the referees. The players have been on the side of the referees. I mean, I don't think anybody, I haven't talked to anybody that was against the referees going out. I don't think we've ever heard of the referees going out on strike. We know that they get some ungodly, ridiculous, stupid amount of money. As far as I'm concerned, you're right. If they settled for anything less, and I know they did, but in my opinion, if they settled for anything less than 10 grand a game...
That's exactly what I thought they should get, and you know they did.
All right, well, then I think they've settled for too little money. But, I mean, they're back. They're obviously happy. These guys have other jobs.
Oh, they've got other jobs. Why don't you tell the National Football League Players Association the same thing? Why don't you guys go get other jobs? You know, why don't you tell the owners that?
No, look, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. But the culture of football, professional football especially, has these referees thinking that they are getting paid plenty, that their other jobs as insurance company executives or school teachers or whatever the hell else they do is fine. And these guys are sort of locked in that mentality. Now, I know that they have a pension, which is, you know, pretty good. They've got retirement. They have benefits. They have health care. This is all worth money. I think the money they make per game is dog crap.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, Phil.
But how do you turn? You can't. I don't see how once you've agreed to something, you tell them, uh-oh, wait a second, what did you just say? Oh, now we're going back out on strike.
What about that? Don't you understand?
I think that once you've given your word as a gentleman and once you've signed your name to an agreement.
Wait a second. People tear up agreements all the time. And when Goodell started in with this patronizing, after giving them the hosing of a lifetime, and I don't hear the fans standing up and saying anything, you know, everybody's in it for themselves. Fans don't care about players. They don't care about referees. They don't care about... They don't even care about other fans. They care about, number one, they care about their ass sitting in their seat. That's what they care about. All right, so forget about that. Forget about the owners. I'm speaking here for the referees, and I'm saying that you guys, wherever you are tonight, if you're listening to me, you took one deep, and it was twisted, and then turned up left, and got some blood. And,
oh, God, man.
Well, I'm trying. What?
Okay, I get it, man. I mean,
God, that'd be painful.
You better believe it's painful. You better believe it's painful to have it stuck in and then
Okay, we get it, man.
Well, that's what happened in the National Football League. They took... Hold on, Phil. They took a square piece of board, and it was... Well, you get my idea.
Yeah, I get your idea. It was a painful thing that happened to them.
Not only painful, but they're going to be dabbing. I mean, well,
Just take it easy, okay?
I mean, there's going to be red on the toilet paper.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Vernon, very much for your reading of that. So the NFL players, the referees got screwed.
Yeah, they took it up left.
I got it already. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour.
Woo!
Baby. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah! Shut up, man.
Yeah!
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I did this song at Frank's 70th birthday party, so I'm very, very familiar with the song.
All right, Margaret's going to sing I Don't Know by Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes, this is from, I believe it's from the, is it from the Blizzard of Oz? This is from Blizzard of Oz. This is I Don't Know by Ozzy Osbourne. Here we go. People look to me and say, is the end near? When's the final day? Whee! What's the future of mankind? How do I know I got left behind?
Quit singing it, man!
Wait, hold on. Hold the phone. Hold the phone, Phil. Hold the phone. Bud, hold the phone. Hold on. What did you say?
Said to quit singing it, Bad. Ow!
Now, next time, I'll drop you in a hole in the ground.
Margaret, watch it.
Don't.
Come on now, hold on.
Get your hands off of me.
Come on, Margaret.
Get your hands off of me. I'll drop you down a hole.
You're gonna hit me.
You think that's bad? The next time you say anything about, no one talks when I sing. Do you understand?
Yeah. I didn't mean to do nothing.
Shut up, bud.
I swear to God, Phil, he opens his mouth the next time, and they'll never find him. No one will find him, and I won't talk.
Yeah, I...
Get your hands off of me, please.
All right. Are you sure you're not going to go after him?
Yes, I'm sure. You remember what I said?
I haven't said anything bad. All I said was sing better.
Boy, you really want a piece?
Oh, hey, hold on.
Now, you know, Margaret, it ain't worth it, man. 12 years for killing an enlisted man. You'll be climbing the walls.
All right.
Okay, let's do this all over again. Bud, shut your mouth. You liked the way she sang the other night.
Yeah, I was just giving her a hard time. And my nose, is it broke?
Your nose looks fine. It could look a lot worse. A lot worse. I'm capable of much more. All right, go.
Here's Margaret with I Don't Know by Ozzy Osbourne.
I got my eye on you, Dickman. The hole's already dug. One button I push. Two and three. People look to me and say, is the end near? When's the final day? Woo!
Right.
Yeah, man.
What's the future of mankind? How do I know I got left behind? How could you leave this behind, bud? Hey, Frank. Everyone goes through changes, looking to find the truth. Don't look to me for answers. Don't ask. I don't know, no.
Have mercy.
Frank?
Yeah.
Are you recording this?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know hidden meanings that will never show? Woo!
All them hidden meanings, man. Yeah.
Fools and prophets.
life's a stage and we're all in the cast.
I need another tape.
I'll get your act together. You gotta believe in someone. Asking me who is right. Asking me who to follow. Don't ask me. I don't know. Alright, that's good. That's I don't want to blow my throat out. Alright, that's it.
Margaret Gray.
That's good, Margaret.
I don't want to blow my throat out, alright? And don't say it, Dickman.
That wasn't bad.
Then why didn't you say it in the first place?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I don't believe it. I don't believe anything you say. The hole's already dug. The lime's already been put into it. One button I push.
All right. So anyway, thank you very much. That's Margaret with I Don't Know By... Why were we doing that anyway?
I don't know. I just felt like doing it. You were playing it, I think, during the commercial break.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so we had Vernon Dozier gave us a little look at the whole that baloney having to do with the... I just wanted to say one thing about the referees, and that is the following... What?
Oh, and I wanted to give... I'm sorry, Phil. Can I?
Go ahead.
I wanted to give, and I've got this because I've gotten some emails on this. I got one from Karen, and I also had an email from Dusty. And they wanted this. And before I forget, I want to just give this.
Okay, what is this?
Well, this is my maple bourbon glazed pork loin. All right. Where's Frank? Frank, you there?
The maple, the glazed pork loin, I'll tell you what he does to a pork. You know.
All right, go to bed, Frank.
All right.
So,
all right.
Here it is. You take a package of boneless pork loin, 6 ounces of Vermont maple syrup, 2 ounces of honey, 4 pounds of whole grain, no, four, no, four, I'm sorry, 4 tablespoons of whole grain mustard, 4 ounces of George Dickel Tennessee Whiskey No. 12. You marinate the pork in the ingredients for 24 hours.
Yeah, and then you urinate into it.
And, well, you lousy stink.
Please don't. Get up.
There, you happy?
No, I'm not happy.
What? That hurt.
Did it now.
Man, you beat the crap out of him.
Come on, get up. Get up!
You hit me.
Come on, get up. I didn't hurt you that bad. Get him out of here. Let that be a lesson to you.
What do you want me to take him?
Just throw him outside. Throw some water on him.
Wow.
That's exactly right. Are we going to a break?
We have to go to a break, yeah.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Wow.
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And we got another story because Neil was just telling me about that.
About the world's favorite beer.
You okay?
Yeah, but she kidney punched me.
I didn't kidney punch you. I kicked you in the ribs and I kicked you a couple of times in the gut.
You can cause a guy to hemorrhage internally that way, Margaret.
Oh, can you? Well, maybe he needs to think about that the next time he opens his big fat yap while I sing. No one does that. No one.
All I was trying to do was have some fun.
Yeah, well, did you have fun?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, you kicked him right in the gut, man. I mean, a couple of good shots.
That's right. You got something to say about it?
No.
Jeez, Margaret, I can't have you in here threatening people.
Then tell him to shut his pie hole while I'm singing.
Okay, look, what I want to find here is this story about this beer that Neil was talking about.
Well, did he tell you?
No.
Neil, this is Margaret. The what?
It's on the Huffington Post, Margaret.
It's on the Huffington Post, Phil, is what he just said.
I heard him.
All right.
So this is the world's most the world's most popular beer. And the reason why is because, I offered this opinion, is because it's Chinese. And there's a whole bunch of Chinese people. Now, of course, I don't know where this is on the Huffington Post, and that would mean I'd have to look for it while I'm talking on the air. But nonetheless, it's a beer called Snowplow or Snow Pea. And the fact is, I can't find it on the Huffington Post while I'm doing the show. So telling me it's on the Huffington Post isn't good enough. You have to almost tell me where. Is it on the homepage or something?
I'll find it.
No, don't.
I'll find it.
It's what?
It's in the food.
Speak up.
It's in the food section.
It's in the food section.
Supposedly food.
All right. Okay, well, whatever. So it is a popular beer, and the reason why it's popular is because it's Chinese.
So what does that mean?
It means there's a lot of Chinese people.
All right.
There's a lot of Chinese. You know, you're the one that's throwing around the threats in here. There's a lot of Chinese people, and therefore there's a lot of people buying the beer, and therefore that's why it's popular. It doesn't necessarily mean it's any good.
Yeah, but you said a Chinese has got good beer.
The Chinese, let me tell you about the Chinese, okay, because I've been to China. Now, I haven't been to China in a long time, but when I was in China, and this was in the 80s, forgive me if I have any of our fine Chinese friends listening, but what I sampled of your products tasted like, you know, speaking of dog turds, you know.
Well, what did you have?
Well, in those days I smoked, and the first thing I tried were Chinese cigarettes. You might as well be smoking camel crap. Number two.
What's that taste like?
It was lousy, okay? The cigarettes sucked. The next thing that I had, now their food was great. You know, we had these wonderful meals, terrific dinners. So the food was fantastic, but Chinese, who doesn't like Chinese food, okay?
Yeah, is it the same in China like it is here?
What do you mean, is it the same in China like it is here?
Well, you know, over in America.
We got a lot of American Chinese.
Well, yeah, it's the same. You mean we Americanized some of the Chinese dishes?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the same. And it was very, very good. Very, very good. The other thing that I had over there was the soda pop. Like, they have a drink in China. They had a drink in China that was it was yellow, you know.
Okay, right there.
Oh, no, bud. Grow up. It was like a lemon pop. Very, very popular. Sold from these trucks, you know, these little hand carts in the street. And the Chinese love this stuff. And I didn't dig it. And then the other thing, but then the third thing I had that was, besides the food, the thing they had over there that was good, and I would say that it is highly competitive to European or the American product, and that is beer. Now, the reason, if you'll pardon me for squeaking that out, reason.
Yeah, that was what I think Harvey was saying. You sound a little effeminate when you do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll try and lower it down.
Well, no, it's just when you go, the reason, you know.
Yeah, okay. The reason, how's that?
It's still a little effeminate.
The reason, how's that?
It's still just.
Come on, the reason is. In China, during the colonial period, and that would be the 19th century on into the early part of the 20th century, when European powers decided that they just wanted to go over to China and park their ass and just do whatever they wanted to do, with the acquiescence of a few well-paid bureaucrats in China, the Germans built a couple of breweries. And they were very good breweries, and they being German breweries, obviously they were there to produce the German product, the German beer that has become so world famous, the German lager, which is what we drink in America. I don't know if you guys know the history of American beer.
Oh, God, here we go.
You know what, Margaret? I haven't told this story on the air in a long time, so you're just going to have to sit through it.
I never heard it.
Yeah, me neither.
He goes on and on about the...
I'll do it. I'm not going to go on, and I'm just going to say that in America, up until the 1820s and 30s, we drank tatties, we drank British ale. We had ale houses in America, and that's what we drank. And that was the popular drink, the popular alcoholic ale, I don't know what you would call it, grain beverage other than whiskeys or bourbons, was ale and tatties. These were English. And we had these public houses from which we, you know, would imbibe and socialize. That was the American tradition brought over from England until the arrival of the German immigrants in the 1830s and 1840s. And the Germans went to, as you might guess, a couple of places here in the United States. One of them, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And they, in fact, went to a place called Plank Road in Milwaukee, which today, I believe, still has one or two of the breweries founded. And so the Germans came over with a kind of drink called a lager. It was a different way of making this beverage. The lager style German beer is what became very, very popular here in the United States and has held sway ever since. That just absolutely trampled the tradition of ale and the stouts and the things that we drank early on. Now, today, you know, there's a few Americans, and, you know, it's always going to be a popular drink among some people, the stouts, the ales, the Guinnesses and that. People like that. Hey, man, give me one as a change of pace. But the fact of the matter is, in America, we drink lager beer. We drink a really watered-down kind of I don't know how people can drink that light crap, I'm telling you.
What are you going to drink? You go off your diet.
I am not going to drink light beer. It ain't going to happen. Forget it. When I go off my diet, I go, you know, when I hit 210, which, by the way, folks, I didn't tell you, 221 pounds. Thank you very much, Ron.
That is very good.
Thank you. 221 pounds. I've got 11 pounds to go. 11. Do you remember when I started this? Do you guys remember way back in March? I was at 289 pounds. And I told you guys, and I tiptoed into it, I remember, because I didn't want everybody to go, oh, here goes Phil with another diet. But I remember when I lost my first 5 pounds, I think I came on the air and I said, I'm on this diet and I just lost 5 pounds. I'm at 284, and I think this is going to work because I saw this really dramatic weight loss in the first week. Well, in any event, March 19th was when that was. So April, May, June, July, August, September. It's been 6 months and a week. In 2 weeks, maybe let's call it 6 months. And what is 60, 68 pounds, right? Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of weight, dude.
That's a lot of weight. So when I'm finished, I will have 78, 79 pounds is what I will have dropped when all is said and done. However, when I go off the diet, when I hit 210, I'm going to be back to eating. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to blimp out to 289. I'm going to have to do the following thing. Every day or every week or so or every few days, you get on a scale. And if I start, you know, putting the weight back on to any degree, like, and by any degree, I mean, if I go from 210 up to 13 or 14, then I'm out running on the beach and sort of, you know, it's always going to be about balancing exercise with diet. And you're going to want to have some food. You're going to want to go out and blow it out. You're going to want to have a Thanksgiving dinner. You're going to want to have some dessert. You're going to want to have candy on Halloween. These are the things that make life fun. You know, you don't deny yourself those things. But you also have periods where you pull it back in, where you get back on a good diet, where you go out and you do some cardiovascular and you start burning stuff off.
And that's the way it is until the end of your life.
Until the end of my life. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I am never again, as long as I'm alive on this planet, ever going to put that weight back on. Even forget about 289. I'm not even going to get up above 215 for any great length of time. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, well, 215, that's not bad.
No. You ain't going to... I'm not going to start thinking like that, man. No way. I'm not going to allow that into my thought. The range I give myself is 5 pounds... Either way, that's it.
Well, Phil, you're going to put on a lot more. If you have a Thanksgiving dinner,
I'm not going to put on 5 pounds. If I put any more than that after a Thanksgiving dinner, I can guarantee you this, man. I am dieting until I get it back down to 210 again or 211, 212. I'm not going to put that weight back on permanently. It isn't going to happen. That's the promise that I've made. That's the blood oath I've sworn to myself. And I'm going to uphold that for as long as I may live. All right. Some other news that we'll get to when we come back, because I just got sidetracked with a whole bunch of horse dung. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and philhendryshow.com. And don't forget that sometime before the end of the week, we are Apple-compatible at philhendryshow.com, so on-demand video will be viewable on your iPhone, your iPad, all of that. And more at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, let me turn the fan off.
Yeah, get the fan on.
I got the fan on because it's like a freaking sauna in here.
Well, why don't you invest in some air conditioning?
What?
Why don't you invest in some air conditioning?
Because I'm not putting central air in here for what amounts to like 2 months out of the year. You know, we're at the beach. We're down near the ocean here at the El Pacifico here on the California coast, folks. We're about 30 miles north of Los Angeles, and most of the time it is extremely temperate. We don't get snow, and we don't get blistering heat most of the time. But in our studio, because of all of our equipment, you know.
Well, how long are people going to... Phil, every year you talk about this.
No, I do not every year talk about this.
Yeah, do you? I start, oh, man. Oh, man, oh, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you, too.
Oh, the three of you are nuts, okay?
Oh, so the three of us are nuts, even though every year we hear you talk about this.
Every year, a couple of times out of the year, I'll say it's hot in here. I'm not putting central air in for 2 months out of the year, so forget it. It's not going to happen.
What about one of them, like, swamp cooler?
Yeah, what about a swamp cooler?
A swamp cooler? Those things are noise. Look it, just listen to me. I'm not... You know, we can get a bigger fan, all right?
Yeah, a bigger fan is going to make noise, man.
Well, if it makes noise, it makes noise. But the fact is that I haven't complained about the weather at all in this studio all year long until now, late September. Something happened, you know.
Yeah, it's called the sun. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, you guys will never get it, man. I mean, this is a very unusual, this is an unusual weather pattern we're having here. I mean, it's late September, early October, it cools off. It's warm, it's hot. What do you want me to tell you? Okay, thank you, and good night. I don't want to discuss it.
Yeah, you're very inflexible, Mr. Andrew.
Oh, get a load of you, inflexible. Woo!
Well, it's not that big of a word.
Sounds big to me. All right. So, getting back to this diet... My friend Carell of KGO Radio in San Francisco, nice guy, Carell, and a terrific talent. Somebody just posted that he is, his doctor said he's got to lose 50 pounds. So Carell, if you want the word on that, man, I can lay it on you. But it really gets down to just a real simple thing. It's 2,000 calories a day. That's it. I'm telling you, that's it. You cannot go over. If you go over, you got to get out and you have to exercise it off. If you go over and you don't have time to exercise that day, then you have to do it the next day. But you've got to get back to your 2,000 calories a day. And if it's not enough for you and you need more, then eat more. But remember, you got to get out and you have to do some form of exercise that burns you back to the 2,000 calories a day. So let's say you need another, you've had your 2,000 calories, you're still hungry. And that's a relative thing. I mean, that's a subjective and it's a highly seductive thing. So, I'm really hungry. Well, if you want to talk yourself into that, that's fine. But you don't get any breaks on this. You can eat more, but you got to go out and you got to exercise more.
How do you know what? If you go 200 calories over, how do you know what exercise?
There's all kinds of apps and there's all kinds of books. There is all kinds of websites. There's one that I use that I have on my iPhone, and I have it in my bookmark, my bookmarks, I should say. And it was a, it's called Calories Burned Exercises. You can bookmark it, and it tells you all of these exercises that you can do and the number of minutes you got to do them and the calories that it burns up, okay?
And you feel very confident in those.
Absolutely. I've been using it for a year, man. I can get out and run on the beach for a certain amount of time. I can get out and walk on the beach for a certain amount of time and go out and walk on pavement, and I know exactly how many calories. And early on, I did that. Now I just keep myself within the 2,000 calorie limit. If you go over and you don't have time to exercise, then you're going to have to take it off of the next day's calories. If you say, oh, wow, I went to 2,200 and I don't have time to exercise, well, guess what? You get the next day, 1,800 calories.
Man, I don't know if people can do that.
I did it. What's so special about me? I did it. What do you mean you don't know if people can do it?
Well, you're not married. You don't have a family.
That's true, yeah. But that's me, see? I'm the kind of guy where I can get distracted easily, and people can completely pull me away from what I'm focusing on. So the fact that I'm not married, the fact that I don't have kids, is good for me while I'm on this diet. Some guys, some women, they're married, they have kids, and they can still do it, you know, because they have the kind of temperament. Now, if you don't have the kind of temperament, then, don't talk yourself out of it. If you want to lose the weight, this is it, man. This is it, Jack. You'll start knocking calories off 5 pounds a week in the first, I'm telling you right now, 20 pounds I did in the first month. I think in 2 months, I did like 35 pounds. In 3 months, I mean, you know, here it is 6 months later, 60 plus pounds. I think I've averaged somewhere in the neighborhood of 13 pounds a month. Now, that's pretty damn good. And I don't think you can expect more. You could probably get more, you know, if you went out and that was me just doing a calorie thing.
Yeah, you were like doing any exercise every day?
No, I was not exercising. I only applied exercise when I needed to get the calories down. But if you, for instance, want to do 2,000 calories a day and you want to do a daily exercise, that's far out. Do it, man, because number one, you'll be able to eat more because you're going to burn more calories. But also the metabolism is going to speed up and your weight loss is going to increase. You're going to lose the weight faster, okay?
Why didn't you do that?
Because, first of all, man, you know, I'm only doing what I can do. I work late. Dude, by the time I drag my ass out of bed at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm like, you know, I can barely focus. The last thing I got on my mind is, oh, I better go out and hump it on the beach, man. You know, I want to get some coffee into me. I want to just kind of check out and see whether I'm alive or dead and what's up with the world and all this good stuff. By the time I'm conscious, man, it's like 5, 6 o'clock at night. You know, I'm fully into my whole thing of just watching what I'm eating. If I want to get out and exercise, I do it on the weekends, okay?
Yeah, like on last Saturday, you went out.
Last Saturday I went out, man, I was up and down the beach last Saturday. Okay, fine. But there's some people who can do more, and I would heartily recommend that. If you like to exercise, I mean, I don't know anybody that's a fat ass that likes exercising. If you did, you wouldn't have 300 pounds of lard on your ass, right? I mean, well, what are you laughing at, Robert?
Yeah, Robert, you could stand, you know.
Excuse me, Ms. Gray, but
don't you dare say anything about my ass.
Nobody said a word about your ass.
Just in case.
In any event, that's it, and that's where it's at. So I figure, you know, what do I got, 11 pounds, man? This is the end of September. Did I say I can still make my first week in October?
Man, I don't know. You said last time.
I know, but I can still do it. I can get damn close, man. By the end of the first week in October, I can do it.
Man, I'd like to see you do that, man, but that'd be a real hard one.
Maybe. Maybe. All right. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and listen to and view all of the media, our video and our audio. We've got over 4,500 hours of full radio shows going back over a decade. The world famous Phil Henry Show also has, of course, video on demand as well as our video archive. And don't miss the rolling out of Apple compatibility on our website within the next 2 days. So for those of you who are iPhone and iPad users, on demand, our video cast now will be available to you as well. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Neil Neil's last name, I'm going to hide from you for... What? West. I know it's Neil West, but I didn't want to tell anybody in case you didn't want people banging on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning asking you for tips on how to do, books on tape. Anyway, Neil West and Phil Hendry, until tomorrow, let that be a lesson to you. Woo!
Phil Hendry.